Keep the devices in your home protected from Wi-Fi threats with Xfinity XFi. If it's connected, it's protected. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Switch to Xfinity today and get a great offer. You'll get fast speeds and the best in-home Wi-Fi experience with Xfinity XFi. And now, you can get advanced security for free when you get the XFi Gateway. That's a $72 value per year. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store to switch today. Restrictions apply.
Have you ever wondered what life would look like if you loved yourself enough to truly find your brilliance? If so, you're going to love our next guest. Welcome to the Awakening You podcast, reminding you that the answers are within. My name is Scott Goyette, and I'm your host. Each week in this podcast, I will be sharing some simple yet very useful tools to help you dive deep and discover how infinitely powerful you really are. The show is based on specific growth models created by the Go Love Now movement that will help you choose love and move through your fears. The Love Model, L-O-V-E, stands for listening, observing, voicing, and empathizing. The Fear Model, F-E-A-R, stands for forgiving, eliminating beliefs that no longer serve you and may have never served you, accepting yourself and others where you or they are at in their journey, and rising up and becoming resilient. During each podcast, my amazing guests will share their experience with using these tools and how you might benefit from using them as well. All information shared during this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. Nothing from this podcast should supersede the directions of a doctor or mental health professional. And our next guest is an amazing human being, and I've known him for a few years. We actually met in Costa Rica. An amazing guy. He's done some great things in his past life and in his current life. You might know him from his past life because he was one of the founders of Big Beat and Electronica. So if you're a music fan and used to get to the clubs and were into that kind of stuff, he was one of the founding members of the music group, The Crystal Method. This is my great friend, Ken Jordan. How are you, Ken?
Great. How are you doing, Scott?
I am doing good. And it's good to hear that you guys are doing okay in Costa Rica right now, because we're all stuck in these places. I guess Costa Rica is not a bad place to be stuck right now.
It's not so bad to be stuck in paradise.
There you go.
You know this area, so you know what I'm going through here.
I was trying to be stuck there, but they won't take Americans because we're just not listening well. So
soon you'll be back.
I will. I'll get there. It's what it's doing. It's teaching me lessons in patience. So I'll take everything as a lesson. So let's talk a little bit about, I mean, I can only imagine, you know, people who are, you know, listening are thinking, you know, so what's it like to be, you know, on a stage or in front of thousands and thousands of people and just moving them and, you know, just bringing music. And music is such a healer. Right now, it's such an important thing. What's it like being in front of that group of people and just guiding them and just this amazing energy? What does that feel like?
Well, it always feels pretty good. It's funny, I never intended to be in a band, actually. I was a recording engineer and a producer. You know, I liked the studio work. And my partner and I we sort of gravitated towards the electronic dance music, where we originally producing music for singers and rappers. And then we just really liked the electronic dance music scene, the rave music scene that started to happen in the early 90s. And then, lo and behold, the music that we were producing kind of stood on its own without singers or rappers or frontmen or other band members. And then next thing you know, I'm in a band, and then, you know, we're making music, and then, shoot, we've got to play live. So I always had tremendous stage fright, but the energy of the crowd, you know, it just helps you out so much with your stage fright, gives you so much energy in return. So it was always a lot of fun to play in front of a lot of people, even though it was not a natural act.
You know, it's beautiful about that. That's one of the things we actually talk about in the Go Love Now models when we're talking about love and fear. We're always trying to push people to find their brilliance. And we always suggest to people that the brilliance will come when you're in flow. And when sometimes You're just being. And so I just heard loud and clear, you were actually more into the production piece and doing things for others. And because you were in flow, all of a sudden that flow put you on stage and you realized that your brilliance could be there too. And I love the fact that you said that you weren't a natural at it, because I've heard so many people say, I'm not good at something. And I always echo and I say, you're not good yet. And you remind them of that importance of a growth mindset. Let's talk about that a little bit, because we've got listeners right now who are overcoming challenges and thinking, oh, I could never be that. I could never be this. Talk about that flow that brought you to that stage and helped you overcome those fears.
Well, to me, it was always the work. I just loved being in the studio and making music. To me, we were never approaching it like we have to have a hit record or we have to make music that appeals to. So we just wanted to make music that we knew was really good. And I think that was really important, you know, to just take pride in your work and to not have any external factors, you know. And so that's what we did. And we were lucky enough to have, you know, some people in the world really liked it and, you know, bought the music and came to our shows. But I think it's just really important to focus on, you know, the work you love and what you believe in.
That's absolutely beautiful. And I've actually seen that same behavior in you, because let's jump forward a few years. You know, you had this amazing opportunity to be on stage, create great music, do what you love. And then there was a transition where you actually found a new beginning, which I find equally beautiful and equally amazing. And that's something that a lot of people don't do effectively. A lot of people, you know, when they retire, what do I do now? I finish my sports career. What do I do now? I finish teaching. What do I do now? And there's two things that I noticed. So first and foremost, one of the things that we do when, you know, I come down there to Costa Rica is you've got a boot camp, and I'm a former owner of a boot camp business. So, you know, you and I have had fun getting down there and doing boot camp workouts and energizing people. And I saw the same intensity that you must have put on stage and into your work in the boot camp, because you literally were doing it every single day to a point where, what was it again? You had a microfracture in your foot. You just kept doing it and you just wouldn't stop. What was that injury again?
Well, yeah, I sprained something in my foot. I was doing it 5 days a week, and I am doing it only 3 days a week now, only Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. It gives my body a day rest in between. And that's actually, I've got more energy now doing it 3 days a week than I do doing it 5 days a week. So that's really working out. Well, yeah, it's a high intensity interval training program. And I just do it. It's a free class for the community, whoever wants to come. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I think that's really cool. And I love the fact that, you know, you made a transition from something that's massively high energy, where you're doing something you love, to something where you're still bringing that individual energy, energizing others. And maybe there's not as many people in front of you, but everyone's receiving that benefit that you're offering. So let's talk to the listeners a little bit about, what does that transition look like? You know, you're in Vegas, you're in, you know, LA, wherever the places that you were, and then suddenly you're in a place that's really peaceful and quiet in Costa Rica, just enjoying yourself, and it's a whole different vibe. What does that transition look like? Because we've got a lot of people who, again, might struggle with that work to post-work or one life to another transition.
Well, my wife and I, Janine, we have been coming down to Costa Rica quite a bit. We have a beach property here that we share with a friend. And we had been coming down since, I don't know, 2008 or something, pretty regularly. And so we just fell in love with the country, fell in love with the vibe here. One of our friends was developing this little eco community. You know, he was trying to sell the people with good intentions, you know, take good care of the land. And, you know, if they grew things, they use permaculture. I knew that when I did retire, I wanted to come here. And I wanted to, you know, grow our own fruits and vegetables and farm and be a part of a community. And just live a completely different life, much less technology. And so I was ready for the change. So when I retired in 2016, we moved down here and we built a small prefab house, but we've got a decent piece of land. You know, it's only about,
I think it's about 1.5 acres.
Yeah. So we're growing all kinds of stuff, and I I do not have a green thumb. My mom does, but I've never done any of this before. So it's all a big learning curve to me. I'm having a blast out here.
So again, you know, and the reason I love listening to this is my assumption, you know, because I've seen your house and I've seen the gardens. So my assumption was, once again, that you are just naturally into permaculture and you've done this. And this was, I don't know, I want to say easy, but something that, you know, came easier to you than others. And again, I'm hearing this was almost a challenge for you. It's something you liked. So you went and challenged yourself. And I want people to listen to that loud and clear, because this is twice in one life that you challenge yourself to do something. And I've seen both, you know, I've listened to your music. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. It pumps people up. And I've seen that garden, which is insane, because you're constantly putting an effort into it and it's built up into something that wasn't your organic forte. It wasn't something that you said, this is easy to me. It was something that you said, I want to do, that's challenging. So how does somebody step into that? Because there might be somebody saying, well, sure, I'd love to move to Costa Rica. Sure, I'd love to have a beautiful garden, be part of a permaculture commune. Again, it's not really a commune. It's a bunch of people with similar intentions who are doing good things and enjoying the Costa Rican life. Pura vida. How do we get people to think like that and really embrace that growth mindset? Because I know a lot of us don't believe that this could be them.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because I think I had been a farmer or had a green thumb or done gardening before. I don't think I would be as excited about it. And you know, just, you know, eating stuff you grew, I mean, it's like magic to me. You just stick it in the ground and it gets rained on and then you've got food, you know.
It's just, I agree. Really.
And so, you know, I thought about my retirement for quite a while, and I thought about, you know, what am I going to do? What do I want to do? And I was really, really drawn to this. And I think as long as if you're passionate about it, maybe you don't know how to do it yet, but if it's your passion, you know, you'll find a way.
I love that, because I think a lot of us, we prepare monetarily, or we prepare in ways that we think, you know, I'll be set financially, or my foundation will be taken care of. And we have this thing like, I'll move someplace that it's warmer, or I'll stay, you know, there are the kids or whatever. But I don't think people are really looking at what's going to make me happy. Because, I mean, here's the thing. I think part of aging gracefully is literally just embracing aging. You said it beautifully. You were doing 5 days a week. It wasn't feeling right. You chose 3 days a week. Now you feel energized for those 3 days. The other two are rest days, and you feel like you're a kid again. And I think all of those things, what is it that I can do as I'm aging that I can fall in love with, still stay fit, not fight it, but embrace it and just work with it. And I feel like a lot of people would be doing so much better as they get older if they started thinking of these things while they were still working. You know, so what advice could we give to somebody, let's say, you know, you got 10 years before you retire, you know, how would they start to find these things that really drive their energy and get them excited? Because I think a lot of people wait till after, and then all of a sudden they're stuck in a situation and they're no longer here as humans. How do we get them to get to that space so that they can enjoy that retirement?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people know, you know, what they want to do and what will make them happy. And I mean, I don't know about 10 years. I feel like if I was thinking about it 10 years in advance, I might have shortchanged my other career, you know, because...
Good point.
Who is it? Was it John Madden? John Madden, the... You know, the former coach in NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he said the moment you think about retirement, you should just retire. You know, so. But I think that when it's time, you know, put a lot of thought into it, and you know, maybe you choose the wrong thing at the beginning, but you know, you can always make changes. You know, so I think it's very important to have that sense of purpose.
I like that. That's another a way to view it too, is the minute you start thinking about it, you might be gone from your job and you might be doing something yeah. different. That's interesting. Great.
And
that's
but
cool.
You know, I just think having a sense of purpose, like, you know, having this thing that you can't wait to get to every day when you wake up, is the most important thing. You know, that's a lot of, we live in the blue zone, or close enough to it anyway, here in Costa Rica, one of the blue zones, one of the five blue zones. And one of the most important common denominators for all five of the blue zones is the people in the blue zones who live, you know, into their hundreds. They've got this real strong sense of purpose. It's something that they do that gives their life meaning every day. That, to me, is one of the most important things in the world.
Yeah. You know what? I love that you mentioned that, because again, that's why we got a piece of property down near you guys. And essentially we're still going to build a zip line at some point, right? So I can zip line to your property.
Absolutely. We're all talking about it. We're all talking about zip lines everywhere. And somebody's trying to figure out a way to where we just have the lines all level.
Yeah.
From high to low. And then we have some kind of motorized little thing that we lift. Hold in our hand.
You know, all you need is a lift on each one that goes up 4 feet and it's all level. So you don't need to go fast. You just need to slowly drift to the other place.
That's right.
I think by then the technology will be inexpensive and totally worth it. So we'll make it work. But so, yeah. So with Blue Zones, like one of the reasons that we invested in a piece of property in Costa Rica too, and that, you know, how we met is, there's something beautiful about if your surroundings are doing something and it's, you know, eating healthy, finding purpose, connecting more, you'll organically fall into that. And I'm not a big fan of like follow the leader. You know, I want to be my own leader. But at the same time, if I can intentionally put myself around a group of people that's like-minded and it's going to help me age gracefully and literally not, you know, just all of a sudden die, but I'm living a great existence and suddenly I expire. I mean, I think that's kind of all what we want. Let's talk about some ways that, you know, we can get there, because, you know, I'm hearing that we've got to have purpose. Another one that I'm a big fan of is connection, you know, creating, you know, a group of people that you want to be around to invest in and serve. What else do you got?
Well, community is definitely a big reason why we came here. I talked to other people who are here who either live in this community or live here in Costa Rica nearby, and they have the same experience. You know, they're from a big city in the States and they have lots of friends and family there, but they never see each other. You know, it's like a long drive or it's just too much work organizing or there's traffic or something, you know. And I think that's one great thing about just kind of living in community and being closer and not having the super highways all around. And to me, that's super important, is this sense of community where you're, you know, there's younger people here, there's older people here, there's people I don't agree with here, but it's all community and we're all trying to work together.
Yeah, no. And so this is another interesting thing too. I fell in love with the Pura Vida vibe, which is, you know, pure life, good life that everybody says in Costa Rica. I fell in love with that myself. And I love that idea where, you know, you're just walking around and everyone just like saying hello, you grab a beer, you hang out, things move slow. And I was asked to, as a business professor, teach a group of kids from Denmark 1 year. This is about 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm working with these kids and I couldn't figure out what it was. I'm like, these kids are, I just love this group of people. And then to come to find, that's another one of these blue zones where people just live a little bit differently. And it's the same thing. Every one of them has a purpose, because what they do is, they're building from day one what they want to do. So they're not taking all these core classes. If someone wants to be, you know, an engineer or a doctor, much more quickly, they're starting to take classes towards that purpose. So I see a lot of the kids early on finding their purpose. People are supporting them. There's deep connection. They have something that's called a HIGA or HUGA. It's spelled H-Y-G-G-E. And that's actually a time where they just stop and do nothing. And they just communicate and, you know, just have fun with one another. And it's usually embraced, you know, you have a cup of tea, you're sitting around a fire, but everyone just chills out and makes time to stop and connect. That's why there's blue zones. I mean, how many times in Costa Rica are you going to do something, you stop and see something, you have a beer with them? It's the same thing. It's like Costa Rican hygge. Like, what do we have to do to get that worldwide and get back to that space of being versus always doing? Any thoughts on that?
I got to tell you, that is one of the big adjustments. And I'm liking the adjustment here, but coming from the States, it's a little frustrating, because, I mean, my level of patience is just going through the roof here because of just the natural way people live here. I mean, it's amazing. You'll be in back of somebody in a car, and they'll just stop in the middle of the road to talk to their friend who's going the other way, you know?
Yep.
And they'll stop as long as they want. Nobody honks the horn. Nobody gets mad. I mean, in the States, there would be like a, you know, a road rage fight, you know, in the same situation. And things are just slower here. And some, you know, takes forever to get your food at a restaurant, takes forever to get your check. But slowly but surely, I'm like, I prefer this. This is better. Why are we in such a hurry to go somewhere and do everything? Just take your time. And that is definitely part of the Pura Vida lifestyle down here.
So it's actually funny that you bring that up, because I wasn't ready to go to Costa Rica when I was a kid, no question, because I'm from Boston and everything's about fast, 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 fast. Who's the smartest? Who's the quickest? Who's the strongest? It's just fast, fast. So when I first moved to Austin, Texas 25 years ago, I'll be frank, and you know, my friends from Austin who are listening will get mad at this, but I thought everyone was stupid because they move so slow. I'm like, is this real? What's wrong with these people? And you know, it's you start like going south, things get a little slower. And then I came to realize, wait a minute, they're just a little more relaxed. They realize things don't have to move as quickly. And so I got to thinking, this is as slow as it gets. Then I went to Mexico, stayed down there a little bit. So wait a second. And then I got to Costa Rica, and exactly what you're saying, where two cars pull over, I was about to lose my mind. But then you come to realize, what are they in a rush for? They're two friends talking. I mean, I guess they could pull out of the way. I mean, if you really want to like play semantics with it, but everyone's okay with it. Everyone stops and just... Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing. Not that they stop, not that they're talking. It's that everyone's okay with it and it's just accepted, you know?
Yes. Yes, it is amazing. So I have another friend who brought up something. He's a good buddy of mine. And he said this one time, he goes, you know, seeking enlightenment and, you know, going to be a monk in some mountain or going to, you know, Chiang Mai in Thailand and going up on the top of the hill and, you know, escaping from people or whatever. Not to say that's easy, because you're sitting and you're living in your own voices and you're going through a lot. But he said, wouldn't it be more beautiful to try to achieve enlightenment while here in the middle of the noise? And so I think that's exactly what we're doing as a society. And I think Costa Rica as a whole did that. I think they said, while all the noise is going on around me, while the world is going on around me, instead of us leaving all the people, I'm going to stay in the midst of the people, but I'm just going to slow everything down. I think places like Denmark did that. And I think there's certain cities in the U.S. that get closer than others. I would love to figure out a way that we can share with and help empower others to figure out how to slow down a little bit in the middle of the chaos while still being remotely efficient so we can produce things and support the world. How do we do that? And I know that's the million-dollar question, but let's go there. How do we do that? Is there anything we can offer to people?
Well, you know, there are a couple of movements in the States, right? Isn't there there's a whole like slow food movement, which isn't just about food. It's about, you know, lifestyle, kind of slowing down a little bit and not being in such a rush. But I mean, you know, it's tough because in the U.S., you know, money seems to be the king, and it's like, more growth, more profit margins. You know, it's a tough hill to climb to get things to slow down a little bit and to realign people's values. You know, I mean, this is why we moved down here. You know, so I'm an American, and you know, it's always going to be my home, and I hope it gets better there. But right now, it seems like a difficult road ahead for America to change substantially.
So one thing that I've been thinking, and I mentioned this to you earlier, and let's chat about this. So we're sitting in a situation where you and I are talking about, you know, it would be nice to see if the world could slow down and get into a space of be versus do a little bit more. And all of a sudden, this COVID thing comes along, you know. Of course, it's taken people's lives and it's a serious thing and it is a pandemic and we've got to be smart about it. I mean, do you think that it's possible at all that Mother Nature is just a bit smarter than us? And whether you call it God, universe, creator, and a forced shutdown. So maybe we're addressing these things ourselves, because, you know, we were talking about it earlier. Right now, we can say this is a huge problem with schools because kids won't be able to socialize. We're not doing things according to normal. You know, what are we going to do? I mean, to me, this could be an amazing opportunity to revisit education and not worry about the standardized testing, invest more in collaboration, be more creative virtually, start looking at ways that we can support kids in a different way.
Do you think that maybe Mother Nature, again, is doing exactly what we're saying we're not sure how to do?
Certainly, there will be some good that comes out of this. You know, I mean, it's a bad pandemic. It could have been much worse. They have several models of, you know, uncontained flu outbreaks that had a whole different trajectory with many more deaths. But, you know, this is a bad pandemic for sure. But, you know, people are learning to be close and establish good relationships with their close friends and family and neighbors, and people who didn't know how to use technology before are using Zoom, you know. And so there's certainly a lot of good coming out of it. And you know, for kids, most adults, the older you are, the less 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. Really will disrupt your whole life. But man, for kids growing up, you know, missing a whole school year or having a whole school year sort of interrupted, I mean, that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah. You know, this is an interesting discussion too, because my wife and I have been having it because we have a 13-year-old daughter. My wife was, you know, be honest with you, she was near tears. She's like, she's going to lose her eighth grade year. That was a great year for me. And I kept hearing her say, you know, for me. And I said, I don't want to challenge this because I empathize with what you're feeling, but you're also coming from your perspective. You know, your eighth grade year was what was the result of what was going on at that time. What can we do to hand out some tools to make this the best eighth grade year she can have? And, you know, Viktor Frankl's book, A Man's Search for Meaning or whatever, if you can find a, you know, peace or comfort or anything that's positive in a concentration camp, I'm quite sure that we can find, you know, something super positive, if not massively productive, in this COVID pandemic. And so that's what I really hope people start to do, is to look more deeply there and stop focusing on, I wish we had it this way, I wish we could have been different. Here's what we have. How can we use this as a springboard to something amazing? What do you think of that idea?
I think absolutely. I mean, there's silver linings and everything. So
sure,
there's a lot out there that can be done.
I agree. So I've got a couple more questions for you. But one of the biggest ones is, what would you offer if there was one thing that you could share with our listeners that would be the one piece of advice that would stand the test of time, be your legacy, and the thought that when people think of Ken Jordan, they think of this?
Well, when they think of me, I don't know. You know, I would say in the past it would have been something musical, but I would say something that would transcend, you know, both halves of my life would be just that I am continuing to pursue what I'm passionate about, what gives me meaning. And that's not any level of success or anything like that. It's just what I'm passionate about and the things that provide meaning in my life.
So you just said one of my favorite words that I get into deep discussions about a lot, the word meaning. I hear a lot of people in this world say, you know, I'll find meaning through blank. And I always hear them saying something external, you know, whether it's through religion, whether it's through this, through that. I'm listening to you talking about ways that you're creating meaning. You know, you're creating it through creating music. You're creating it through creating a new life in Costa Rica. What ideas do you have for people who are essentially looking for meaning rather than creating meaning?
I mean, it is a difficult one because some people do find meaning in religion. Some people do find meaning in their job, even if they don't love their job. They do it really, really well, and it provides meaning for them. So I don't want to discount anything that gives people meaning in their life. But if you have a chance to pursue something you love, something you're passionate about, and it gives you meaning, you know, go for that. Go for that one.
So I love what you did there, and I was pushing you towards an answer like that with intention. So I love the massive empathy that you just had there. And I always just like to play semantics with words, because I think that a lot of arguments stem from people having the exact same thought and wording it differently and then arguing about it. So my point there is, I see a lot of people who are religious or people, you know, people who are in their job saying that they've found meaning there. And I would challenge them to say, can you create meaning from within that? So let's say, for example, if you are Christian and you believe in God, rather than saying my meaning comes from God, I would say, well, God gave you some amazing tools and opportunity to be brilliant. I would challenge you to say, are you using those tools to the max to create purpose? And so he's literally making you a subcontractor of his existence, or she is. So I would challenge you to be the creator. And that's where I go with that. When I hear meaning, I really want people to start creating, because if we're all creating together, I feel like that's where those blue zones come from. And I know we might say they're being a lot and they're not doing a ton of work. That's what a lot of people have, this vision that everyone's being lazy. And I would disagree. I would say people are taking intentional actions to connect. What do you think of that?
I think that's true. I'm going to use your Christian statement example, and I'm going to tell everyone that one. I love that. But you're right. I believe in creating your own meaning. I think people have to have meaning, so they should also get it wherever they can.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I just, sometimes I see people when they're down in the dumps, or they're just, you know, at a point near rock bottom, I feel like that's self-created because they were clinging on to something rather than realizing their own power. So one of my, you know, things, my why, my purpose, you know, talking about yours and mine is definitely to empower other people to find their brilliance and watch them ignite that light and start living to create meaning versus just waiting for meaning. Because we can sit here and wait for an eternity, or we can create something right now. So how would people get in touch with you, Ken? And if there's anything that you'd like to share, where they can find your music, where if they want to rent out your place in Costa Rica or whatever, what would you like to share with everybody?
The Crystal Method is still going strong. My partner, Scott Kirkland, is still rocking it. He has put out a new album since I retired, and that's thecrystalmethod.com. I would love for you to everyone to check out greenwave.eco. Greenwave is my wife's nonprofit organization, which I'm heavily involved with. And then also for our property here on Facebook, it's called the Greenwave House.
Very cool. Tell us a little bit more about the organization too, because I've looked into it a little bit. And of course, I've met your wife. We've done yoga together, and I've enjoyed hanging out with you guys when we're down there. Let's talk a little bit about that organization and how people can connect with that.
Well, she's doing several things. One thing that she had been doing for years as part of Greenwave nonprofit was the Electronic Music Alliance, which is sort of a socially responsible, sustainable sort of greening of the electronic dance music scene. She works a lot with harm reduction and, you know, proper disposal of waste and things like that at festivals and things like that. And so that's one thing she does. But down here in Costa Rica, she's focusing on three things right now. One is the local private sustainable school, which is called Futuro Verde. And she supports them in various things, you know, helping them with their permaculture programs and fundraising and things like that. And then also she is supporting the local wildlife rescue center, which is called Wild Sun. And then the third thing is she's supporting one of the big reserves, like it's like the lungs of the Nicoya, this big reserve called the Karen Mogensen Reserve. And she is supporting them as well.
And that's so, very, very cool.
Yeah. So if anyone could please... check that out, greenwave.eco.
Cool. Do you guys have a Facebook page they can like there? Because I know a lot of people here, they check out our shows on Facebook and then they're able to go like that as well.
Yes, everything is on Facebook. The Greenwave House, Greenwave, EMA, everything's on Facebook and probably Instagram too, but I'm not on Instagram, so I don't really know much about it.
I'm with you. I'm forced into all this technology. I need to hire more people to do it for me because it gets confusing. So one more ask of you. I've got one ask. So we've really been rekindling the Go Love Now challenge. And so everybody that's connected in our community, who listens to our podcasts, our shows, and part of Go Love Now, we've been doing a quick video of how we bring more love and kindness to the world. And I would love to see one from you and Janine, if you guys are willing. And all you have to do is tag five more people
so we could put some of our friends in Costa Rica to get them on board and spread it virally. But you just create a video, how you're bringing some love and kindness into the world. That way we have more positive on Facebook and less political and negative. And from there, you just make sure you include hashtag Goal of Now Challenge and tag a few friends, and that's it.
I love it. We would love to do that, Scott. We would absolutely do that.
If possible, I would love to see the boot camp, to see some Ken Sanity going on too. See the new foot, see it in there, get some.
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, cool. Ken, thank you so much for being on board with us today. I know our listeners appreciate it. Again, I love you guys both, and I'm very excited to have you on the show, and I'm looking forward to getting back to Costa Rica and getting you back to the States.
Scott, I appreciate this, and hope to see you back here real soon.
Oh, thank you so much, Ken. Have an awesome rest of the day.
You too.
This episode of The Awakening You is brought to you by the Speaking to the Heart Podcast Network. If you'd like to experience our interactive show notes for this episode, we invite you to visit us at speakingtotheheart.org.
The Oregon College Savings Plan can help you support your kids' future career as a teacher, airplane driver? No, their career as a hairstyle designer. As a dinosaur doctor? Oh, their future job as a windmill builder. No, an ice cream taster. You know what? We just don't know what they want to be yet. But while they figure it out and dream big, we're here to help you save for what comes next, whatever that may be. Learn more at OregonCollegeSavings.com.
Where you live shouldn't limit your access to quality internet. That's not fair. U.S. Cellular introduces fast and fair high-speed internet. With reliable home internet from U.S. Cellular, now there's no limit to how you stream, game, and work. So instead of this, you get this. Upgrade to fast and fair high-speed internet from U.S. Cellular. Upgrade to fair.